Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. And today we're talking about being real, reality, energy, attitude, and life. But the segment that we're going to work on today is the energy part. So we're going to talk about having more energy at the end of the day than at the start. And this is one of the idiosyncrasies of being an inner wealthian. So your energy becomes your signature. And you may know this already, but people pick up your energy long before they meet you. They remember your energy long after they meet you. And so holding your energy in a space that is not too hyperventilated, hyperexcited, or depressed, or down in the dumps, it's a really important thing to be consistent, because the degree to which you fluctuate your energy up and down is the degree to which people will give you space. They give you space to oscillate within the bubble of your own framework. And so if you're extremely down one minute or extremely up the next, people are going to stand at the fence, at the outside of those two parameters. So sustaining your energy in a constant, healthy, high place is really important. It's not a game. So there are four energy skills that we like to build. We like to work on building your energy, storing your energy, stopping the loss of energy, and finally, directing it into the thing you want. Let's talk about the four here today. First one is build your energy. And the most important thing when you're talking about building energy is to recognize that energy must circulate to grow. So stagnation is what some people call conserving their energy, or what they call holding their energy, or building their energy is by doing nothing, is actually destroying energy because it leaks. So building energy requires movement. And that's why we talk about standing desks, moving away from the desk every now and again. On the day before a big event, you will never be told to do nothing. You will be told to walk or just light exercise or do something. The day before a big presentation, you will be really well advised to keep moving around a little bit, but not too much to exhaust yourself. So energy must circulate to grow, the same as money. So let's look at the elements of this that I've chosen to talk about with you today. The first one is thankfulness. Thankfulness is one of the most powerful gifts that you can have to build your energy. So thanking somebody makes you more energized, fills you up. So very thankful people are usually very energized. And when a person gets tired and lacks energy, it's usually because they've stopped being thankful to someone or something in their life, their job, their work, their problems, etc. Happiness is the second one. Happiness builds energy. And there's no question that happy, internally happy people, which I call joy, are much more powerful than a grumpy person or a happy person laughing, seeking pleasure, trying to avoid pain, but no internal peace. Generosity to self or other is the next energy builder, and it's so powerful to see what happens when you start being generous, both with your time, with your money, and with your thoughts towards other people. Kindness is the next one. So we're coming down. These are really energy building thought processes. Kindness to or from self and other. In other words, kindness to somebody or kindness from somebody builds your energy. The next one is really important because it's a feedback loop. And so success, or the definition of success, which means going in the direction of your aims and your dominant thoughts, going in the direction of your dreams in any of the seven areas of life, will make you more energized, build your power. The next one is really interesting because there are four appetites we have in life. We have we have the stomach appetite, which means stuff that goes down our throat, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or food. And in moderation, that's a healthy appetite. In excess, it's a substitute appetite. So all areas of life that we go into excess will break our energy. All those areas of life where we feed our appetite build our energy. So we've got our stomach appetite. The next one is our mental appetite. The mind is a greedy bugger, and too much control, too much wanting, too much got to, too much controlling and micromanaging makes a person small. And so the appetite for more is a wonderful thing, and it builds inspiration and it builds quality of life and it builds leadership. But way too much more, it starts to be ungrateful for what we've got, which is thankfulness, the first one. So that's the second appetite. The third appetite is sexual. Now, this is a third dimension. It's not just, we're not talking about sexual in the language of physical jiggy-jig. We're talking about approval, feeling good about ourselves, intimacy. We're talking about contact, connection, community, all the things that are in some sense, in an energetic sense, sexual or third dimensional, which is feeling. And a healthy amount of this is really good, but when it goes rogue and it starts to become obsessive, we think other people's opinion of us is more important than our own. When we worry about our community more than we worry about ourselves, when we worry about the world more than looking after ourselves, this appetite becomes energy destructive. And the last appetite, ironically, is spiritual. So it's a healthy appetite because it takes us to a higher order of things. It takes us to a feeling of being, of it rises up and it taps us into a resource of fuel, which is really fantastic. And that kind of like, in a spiritual sense, means caring about something bigger than yourself and being connected to that something. If you care about the environment, you feel connected to it. If you care about animals, you feel connected. If you care about a community, you feel connected. And connecting to something bigger than yourself is the definition of spirituality. The next one, energy builder, as I've mentioned earlier, is movement. And that means walking, maybe jogging, a little bit swimming, going to the gym, but it's not excessive unless you're an Olympic athlete and training in a really heavy regime for an end goal. But believe you me, most athletes suffer from exhaustion more than they suffer from excess energy. So it's a very hard gig. So managing that output, managing that level of your life, your movement, means constantly moving. It means very little sitting around, which includes sitting around watching TV. And the last one, which builds energy, is being surrounded by beauty, or what I call awe. You'll find a person who's just gone, wow, look at that whale jumping, or wow, look at that sunrise. Really energized, really powered up. Their batteries are full. And that's a beautiful thing. Being out in nature, of course, is part of beauty. Being out and moving in nature and witnessing nature and experiencing fresh air and being on the beach or being near a rainforest, all these things are very, very powerful energy builders. Let's now talk about the next one, storing your energy. And the storing your energy means your self-worth. So a person who has low self-worth, who builds their energy, will not have the willingness, shall we call it, to be stable enough to store it. So storing energy is really what's come down to meditation, if you want to give it another word. Storing energy means you sit still, you feel full, you feel fulfilled, you feel satisfied, you feel thankful, present in the moment, and all these things. So a big element of this storing energy is inner peace. Now, I haven't found a person on the planet yet who has it. So it's a big ask to say inner peace. So we might be better to say balanced, centered, and calm, where you balance your mind, center your body, and calm your nerves. Confidence is the next one, but it's most important to consider that it's talking about confidence in you. Confidence in your ability, confidence in your capacity, confidence in your assets and your talents. The next one is big picture thinking. This, again, gives you a sense of self, which is bigger than a mosquito. And most people who are low self-worth worry about low things, small things, little things, and are disturbed by the smallest of things. And that prohibits them from storing energy because their self-worth is small as well. A purpose greater than yourself, again, it gives you a capacity, it raises the size of your vessel Focused on priorities means that you are worthy, self-worth, worthy of working on high priorities, not low ones. Rational thinking means one and one makes two, and you're not emotionally guessing what's going on in the world. A winner's mindset, gratitude, presence, certainty, and love bring you into the moment. Very, very powerful stuff. And this is all building your self-worth. Doing what you love and loving what you do, acknowledging the power of the day, acknowledging the gift of where you are, acknowledging that it's not what you do that's important, it's your attitude to it. And therefore, you can do what you love and love what you do no matter what it is. We talk about link it or sink it is one of the more important quotes we give there. Your physical posture, hunched down, arched back, you will not store energy. You become exhausted. So your posture, going to a good physio or going to a good Pilates class, going to yoga, all these things that help you with your posture management will help you store power. Mental strength is another one. Now, it's funny because mental strength is usually considered a defense against weakness, but it's not. Mental strength is the strength to store energy. And that's a really interesting topic in the Inner World 30-Day Challenge. And last but not least, to store energy, you've got to feel love. If you're not feeling the love, if you're not feeling the love of life, the love of someone, the love of yourself, the love of nature, the love of the world, if you're not feeling these things, you can't store energy. You will have to dump it. So there's the storing energy summary. Let's move on. There's now the stop loss. Now, it's very good to build energy. It's wonderful to store it. But at the end of the day, if we have habits that dump energy, we're going to go into excess in the substitutes, what we call the appetites before. So let's go through stopping the loss of energy. So for clarity, all emotion, sad, angry, hurt, jealous, happy, elated, infatuated, all the big words, they're all energy dumps. They're all vacuums. They're all holes in the bucket. I've just mentioned overindulgence in the four appetites, the stomach appetite, the mind appetite, which is the more appetite, the sexual appetite, which is giving feedback and approving of ourselves, and we start to become infatuated with what other people think is a really, really energy burning thing, and of course becoming obsessed with spirituality. And when it goes to an excess, it means getting away, running away, which leads to depression and probably suicide. So when you're suicide, there is no petrol left in the tank. If that person has taken their life, they've run out of petrol. So excess energy or no, an excess exercise or no exercise at all, both of those two things will cause energy loss, energy drainage, and you may get to an obsessed with the appetite for food, which become alcohol, or the appetite for greed, which becomes control of people and everything around you, or the appetite for sexuality, which is for other people to like you more than you like yourself, or the appetite to spirituality, which is to get away from everybody. Now, if those appetites grow, very, very often it's because we're losing energy and we've either not done enough exercise or done way too much. Pain is an energy burner. I'm going to do a podcast on that tomorrow. Uncertainty and doubt, these things are the thieves. They're called in the Eastern philosophy of mind control and meditation. Uncertainty and doubt are the thieves of energy. Confusion, where you don't know where you're going, you don't know if you want to go there, you're not sure what you want, you're not sure what other people want, you're caught between a rock and a hard place, you're trying to please others and please yourself. And there's a great quote in the Inner Wealth book, and it says, you can please others and piss yourself off, or please yourself and piss others off, but you can't do both. Confusion, overwhelm, too much on, not organized, no paperwork, no writing it down, just thinking it through, trying to do it all in your head. That is just too much for this little thing on top of your noggin. You really do need to write stuff down. Lists and tables and schedules and things need to be written. Get it out of your head. A small pencil is better than a long memory. Negative feedback on your vision is an energy killer. When something happens and you think, oh, that's the end of that. For example, if a relationship ends and you think, oh, I had a dream to build a family, and all of a sudden the relationship, you've seen people go into very, very deep states of energy exhaustion, start drinking, taking drugs, need medication, become completely burnt out, and that's a real spiral down. So our job is to give ourselves positive feedback on our vision, to know our vision well enough, to know the seven areas of life, to know our visions, and to find the positive, because there's positive and negative every single day to each area of life. Even if someone leaves a relationship, it leaves the window open or the door open or the garage open for the next one. That's better. Inner versus outer confusion. Oh, this is a war, the battle within, the Mahabharata, the story of the warring brothers. It what it means is on the inside we feel comfortable doing A, and on the outside we are trying to meet the expectations of someone else that said you should do this and you shouldn't do this. So the inner versus the outer confusion is the word should. And that, by now, I'm sure you understand from the cone of consciousness. Stress. There's a level of stress that's really important. It's activating, it's energizing, it's fueling. And however, there's a limit. So we continue to go on here. No confidence in yourself, where you asking other people to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. Small picture thinking, which just means we sweat the small stuff. I already mentioned that. No purpose greater than yourself. In other words, self-indulgence, which is called narcissism. The ultimate means of narcissism is trying to change other people. The ultimate altruism is recognize you need to change your thoughts. So narcissism is trying to change everybody around you, change the kids, change your partner, fix things, or fix other people. And that's the most self-indulgent, energy-sucking, energy-consuming, not only yours, but everybody else's. No purpose greater than yourself. Focused on problems. There are those who are genius at telling you what's wrong. As I say, focus on solutions. That's a way to conserve energy. A loser mindset. A loser mindset is really easy to get, because something goes wrong and you think everything's going to go wrong too. So it's almost like karma. You think that that it can be the person searching for information to reinforce a belief that everything's going to go wrong for them. And then they become what's called a loser. They talk to their friends about their problems. They talk to themselves about their problems. They talk to their partners about their problem, and this becomes toxic for everybody. Ungrateful, enough said. Bad posture, enough said. And resentment and envy. If we look at someone and say, I wish I was like them, then we're heading for the toilet of exhaustion. Let's keep going here. The next one is directing your energy. And this is, for me, only a topic that I will deal with people in the 30-day challenge when I recognize that they've learned how to build, store, stop the loss of energy. Because if we start directing energy and we haven't got any energy to direct, we're just heading towards exhaustion. So let's look at a few things that might help you here. Firstly, the process of future seeing. Future seeing is when we say, I cause the future. I cause everything that happens to me. Everything that happens to me is a result of me. And, you know, if we have a car accident or we lose a job or we get bitten by a spider, we are the cause. Now, this is powerful stuff, because if we cause negative things, we can also cause positive. And being able to direct your energy into future seeing, which is to make it happen, is called the manifestation process. And the manifestation process, part of the 30-day challenge, it's a really important thing. It's on the blog. You can find the manifestation process. There's steps to it, 13 steps, really easy to do, but you must follow the sequence if you want to manifest. Most people are good at the bottom end, which is the action part, or good at the top end, which is thinking and dreaming about it and visualizing. But it's a whole lineage. It's a whole sequence of things. We've got to be good at all of them and no loose links in the chain. You choose your target. We can want 1,000 things, but we need to choose the big thing and be conservative about where we spend our energy. Never give 100%. This is all about directing energy and manifestation. Never give 100%. Don't waste your energy on ignorant people. Look, trying to change somebody is a waste of time. If they didn't ask, don't tell them. If people don't ask, don't tell them. If you didn't ask, don't listen. I say don't listen to opinions. Don't listen to what people tell you unless you ask for it. Don't react. Act. So if you're working on a day and you're reacting to someone did something and you go, oh, that person did this to me, or this thing is wrong, or this company's not right, you're reacting all day. Think about what you want and act on it. And the stuff will come to and from you that you don't like or you're not happy with, but just turn it into stuff that's part of your action plan. Rehearse your vision, inspiration, purpose. I say this over and over again to people. If someone says, what's your story? Where are you going? What are you doing? It's not so much what you say to them. It's what you know in your mind's eye. And you go, well, I know it. And I say, well, tell me about it. It's like a dance. So you really need to know and rehearse what your vision, inspiration, purpose statement is. And finally, your amour de blâme, which is kind of like going back and saying, choose your target. Make it the big thing and make sure you know what the big thing is and link everything to it. So this is the end of this presentation. We're talking about real. And today we've worked on the energy aspect of real. R-E-A-L, reality, energy, attitude, life. Tomorrow we're going to talk about reality. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.